Let us continue with the semantics of grammars. For that, we will have a look at how the semantics of the second of our example languages looks like. So, in order to talk about semantics of grammars, we want to focus on grammars as term rewriting systems. And so, in this view, we consider rules to guide you in rewriting some strings, with each rule being one step in rewriting. If you do several rewriting steps, aka you rewrite in your system by applying several rules, then this sequence of rewriting steps is then a so-called derivation. And usually you start your rewriting with the start symbol of your grammar. So, as an example for our grammar, we start with E, since this is in that grammar the start symbol. And now we have to rewrite with the help of the grammar's rules. And for E, there is, well, not much choice. We have to rewrite E, and we can do, for example, rewrite by deriving E plus T from E. So that is one, that literally is one of the rules of our grammar. And with that, we obtain a new string of symbols, this one here, where we can do another rewriting step for our derivation. And there, see that E is again underlined, so this will be rewritten by some other rule. E goes to T in our in this case here, so there we get a new string for which we also decide to rewrite on the first symbol, making it into T times F. And here, just for a change, so that you see that you can also do that, we decide to rewrite this non-terminal, this F, into int. Then decide again that it's time to rewrite the first symbol, T, like that, and that, and that. And in the end, we come to a string that is only that only consists in terminals, so there's no rule applicable anymore. Why is that? Well, our rules only have non-terminals as left-hand sides. So that is that. With that, we are done with deriving. So this rewriting relation, this pink relation, is a relation over strings of non-terminals and terminals with, well, a relation holding between alpha and alpha prime. If alpha consists of a string that has some non-terminal, alpha prime consists in almost the same string, so alpha 1 and alpha 2 are present as they have been in alpha, but at the position of non-terminal A, we find that A prime now has beta. And this almost ticks all the boxes for this whole thing being a valid relation. All you then need is that A becomes B is an actual rule in the rule set of some grammar. So rewriting relation only is valid always in conjunction with some grammar and its production rules. Yeah? Okay. Of course, you can do several of these rewriting steps, so you can extend this rewriting relation with a clean star and denote that accordingly. Yeah? Yeah, we've also already said the relation depends on the grammar, since it depends on some rule being checked for whether it is in the rule set. What is not fixed, and what we have also already seen in the example, is the spot where we will do the actual rewriting in our working string. So we could choose the first symbol, the second non-terminal symbol, the third, or whatever we'd like. In each step, we are not bound to one specific concept. Also, the alternative, which right-hand side we choose for a particular non-terminal, is irrelevant. You can just choose one. So it's also doesn't matter how we rewrite. With that in mind, the language that is specified by a grammar is defined by the following expression, and this is now the semantics of grammars. The semantics of a grammar is all derivations, and we remember these derivations depend on the underlying production set, thus the grammar, all the derivations that I can do from the start symbol, and they are done until we reach only terminal symbols, and those strings of terminal symbols are then the language that the grammar is describing, so the semantics of the grammar. So order, of course, also order in which disjunct fragments are written is not relevant at all in that setting. So with that, we might have a little more closer look at what the derivations have as properties. So what we have seen is this way of creating derivations. There's another thing that might be of interest, which is the so-called derivation tree. The derivation tree is related to the ordinary derivations. So the inner nodes of the tree, the green ones, are rule applications. Thus, you find that there is not only just a non-terminal, but also an integer indicating which right-hand side was chosen for derivation. The root, of course, so this thing over here, is a rule application for the root node. So if we have a derivation tree for A, this is a rule application for A. And the leaves usually are terminals, or in case that some right-hand side was consisting of no symbols at all, the empty string. But in our setting here, this is just terminal symbols. Yeah. And you should also maybe observe that if you focus on a specific inner node, like this T0, and then look at the next level in the tree, that is that are direct children of that node, you will see that T0 usually consists of a right-hand side that is built up from T, star, and F. So the children convey the information how this alternative has looked like. Yeah, so this is what a derivation tree usually is. And yeah, the thing is that this derivation tree is now independent on the position which we have chosen in the ordinary derivation for expansion. So here we have chosen, for example, that we want to expand this F here, and only later on we would choose to expand the T. It could have gone the other way around and first decided to expand t and then decide to expand whatever would have been left here, which would have been the f, for example, and still would have come to the same derivation tree, since these two branches are completely independent from each other and can be independently chosen whenever you'd like to expand them. So the derivation tree looks a lot like a thing that we would like to obtain from a parser. Yeah, so this is quite close to what the parser might look like. It has the token classes as children, and it connects them in a hierarchical structure depending on the rules that are valid for the particular language. So this might be a nice thing to have. This thing over there is maybe not so interesting for us as a result, since there are like these little nitpicky things with choosing where to expand first, whereas in the derivation tree this is already kind of projected out. So, but in order to still talk about some derivation tree, or to obtain a derivation tree, we must agree on a format of how to perform actual derivation steps in order to come up with some characterization of how to connect them with each other, because this performing this derivations is like very close to what the grammar does, whereas the other things like what the result should look like. So in order to make sure that we can connect them in a consistent way, there's the concept of fixing the way that derivations work. So you don't let arbitrary derivations be valid anymore, but instead you set the convention that you want to just focus on special ones that, for example, always rewrite the leftmost or always rewrite the rightmost occurrence of a non-terminal. With that, you get like only one valid derivation anymore for one derivation tree. Yeah? And for those special cases, for those special kinds of derivations, we introduce the concept of leftmost or rightmost derivations and denote them with a little index L or R at the operator application. Yeah? So this will be like as right derives some ABC or something. Yeah. And these special derivations have a special connection to the derivation tree, particularly if you look at depth first traversal. If you look at the depth first traversal of the derivation tree, then the leftmost derivation corresponds to a left to right pre-order traversal, whereas the rightmost derivation corresponds to a right to left the first traversal of a derivation tree. Another concept you might encounter when we do these is for parser related lessons is reversing derivation sequences. And if you do that, that means in terms of relating that to the derivation tree, this is just a post-order traversal instead of what has been a pre-order traversal in the ordinary case. You might now be a little bit confused, so let's have an example here. So this is the derivation tree that we already have seen on slides before. And a leftmost derivation is this sequence here. So this is E0, E1, T0, T1, F1, and then this name is no derivation. Instead, we go over to F2, which is this node, T1, which is this node, F2, which is this node. And if you have noticed me doing that, you will have seen that we went that way through the tree, which is like the pre-order depth first left to right visitation of the tree. Yeah. For the rightmost derivation, we find E0, T1, F2, E1, T0, F2, T1, F1, which is like a run like this through the nodes, which is also the first pre-order pre-order traversal of the tree, but right to left. Finally, there's the reverse rightmost derivation, which is, if you look a little bit closer, just the reversal of the thing above. So the rightmost derivation reversed, E0, 0, T1, T1, F2, F2, and so on. And that also plays a particular role because that consists in a particular run through a traversal of the derivation tree, particularly. Let's see, F1, T1, F2, T0, E1, F2, T1, E0. So, if you have paid close attention, this corresponds to the run that goes like this, 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 which is like a bottom-up traversal of the tree. Thus, this is a post-order traversal left to right of the depth-first search. Yeah? Okay. Good. Another thing to focus on is maybe the uniqueness of grammars. For that, we need to talk about the connection to the token stream, which is found in the concatenation of the leaves of a derivation tree. So if you just concatenate all of them in the order that you find them from left to right, we will find this thing over there, which we then call the yield of a derivation tree. Yeah, this usually corresponds to the input that I want to somehow match with my parser. So in order to talk about whether grammar is unique in terms of how many derivation trees there are for a particular input or yield, well, you can just define it in a way that you want to use it afterwards. A unique grammar is a grammar that where for every possible word there is, with word being a string out of terminals, there's maximally one derivation tree, T, that's is derived from S, that is a possible yield of that is a yield of such a tree. So a grammar can only yield a particular word in one particular derivation tree, and there's no two derivation trees that yield the same word. Yeah. So for our example, we said we would have the first grammar being semantically equivalent to the second one. That is still true. However, there's a difference between them in terms of them being unique or not. So with the first one, we find that this one has strings of terminals for which you can find different derivation trees, whereas for the second one you won't have such a thing, so the second one is unique. You might wonder how these things look like for the first grammar. Well, it's a pretty quick example that you can just sketch. So if you do an E with a zero thing, which is plus, you get plus, you get another E, and another E. And now, let's imagine that we have to match something like name plus name plus name. Now you have the choice to either expand this one with plus and expression, or alternatively this one with plus, expression and expression. Both of them will be able to yield this n plus n plus n. However, the derivation trees are actually different. So this is a thing that makes the first grammar non-unique, whereas the second, you won't be able to find such a thing. Yeah? Okay. So, with that, what have we established? A derivation tree is a representation of a hierarchical structure of a word. So something pretty desirable as the output of a parser. For programming languages, we want to focus on those grammars that have a unique structure, of course. If you are able to specify something in your input language, in your source language, for which there's several different derivation trees, thus hierarchical structurizations, then you'll never be really able to make sense of what this initial specification would have meant. So this is a bad idea. So instead, you want to have unique grammars. Yeah? And these derivation trees, you then want to express in a unique way. So you need some kind of one-to-one correspondence to derivations, and therefore you, by convention, fix everything to be like a leftmost derivation, or in the other case, a reverse rightmost derivation. And those two concepts are quite important, because these leftmost derivations corresponds to one of the concepts that we're gonna treat, which is the top-down reconstruction of the syntax tree, with which we will treat in the first part of the syntactical analysis part of this lecture, whereas the reverse rightmost derivations correspond to a bottom-up reconstruction of the syntax tree, which we will then treat in the second part of the syntactical analysis module. Yeah? Okay.